Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We are working on episode number 450. And right now, John and I are going to talk about the leading career-killing mistakes real estate agents make.
That just rolled off your tongue, didn't it?
It's funny because we all have that chance to take off ramps, and somebody very, very central to one of my mentors told me a long time ago. It's like, listen, you can do 8 things. Like, if you have 10 things that you should be doing for a career, you know, it's usually really great professionals do 8 of those things okay. But the reason that they're great professionals is they do 1 or 2 primary tasks really well. They get good at 1 or 2 of the 10 things they should be doing. I found that to be true. You know, with him and me, it was 2 different things. I was really diligent about cold calling, and I became a top 10 person. And he was really diligent about building relationships. Now, there were about 8 other things that were important in that career, and he and I were both shitty at them. So anyway, I will be interested to see what your take on this is. John, before I just keep randomly going off here, let me ask you to do us all a favor and introduce yourself. But also, when you are introducing yourself, why don't you just share a mistake that you made early on that in one of your many iterations, like something that you did that caused a big problem in one of your businesses. And so everybody knows John is a serial entrepreneur, not digitally. So that everybody's clear, but he's owned businesses before in England and here. So, and run businesses, maybe own is not quite the right language, but
I've owned 4 businesses.
Certainly qualifies you to say what was a big fumble for one of those businesses, maybe even one that might have put the business at jeopardy. Take it away, John.
Oh, right. First of all, I want to say you were missed last week. You know, I missed by co-hosts, but I had a good chat with Danny, the agent for Arizona.
Okay.
So if you haven't listened to that episode, my beloved audience, you want to go and have a butcher's of that? Mistakes. Oh, you put me on the spot, as you always do, Rob. Mistakes I want to tell the audience. There have been so many. I got burnt out with coding. I didn't realise it was coming on me, and I was doing ridiculous hours, and I had, for a period of time, had to totally give up on coding. Mm-hmm. Because I literally had a mental, not a breakdown, it wasn't that, the total breakdown, but I just got totally burnt out, and I just had to leave it for over a year. And then I decided that I would take a pay cut and only do a couple of projects and farm all the rest out. And it's been that way for about 6-7 years. Because I was really big into JavaScript. It's a programming language, folks. I was in the early days, and I was taking on some major projects, and I just got totally burnt out. I just couldn't even look at a keyboard for a period of time.
The lesson, though? That's a mistake, right? So was the mistake taking on too much work? Was it?
Yeah, just overdoing it. I don't know. It's a difficult one, folks. Most people give up too early, but there's also, you can end up just flogging a dead horse. And it's a difficult one, but you've got to really have some people that can be totally honest with you, and you've got to be able to understand that you're giving it your best shot, but it's time to call it a day. You're just flogging a dead horse.
I think it's important that everybody understands that John and I are not claiming to be real estate agents. I think that you all should understand that what we are claiming to be is 2 guys that have run more than one relatively successful small business. They've stayed in business. And sometimes for small business, that is as much as you can ask for. And so John and I have both done that. And so we're taking some subjects and we've done some research. And honestly, many of the things that are on our list are things that would screw up any business owner. And number one on my list that isn't even on this list is one of the leading mistakes that real estate agents make is they don't treat their career like it's their own business. It's not really on the list. But ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you, the fastest way to put yourself out of being a career salesperson in real estate is not realizing that career salespeople who work mostly on commission are always running their own businesses. Always. I've done that my entire life since I was 17. And the minute I started to understand that my income was 100% up to me and that it was my business, my life changed, like a lot. It was a major deal for me to take responsibility for my performance and to say, this is my business. I'm just contracting my business out to other businesses. And that's that. So, John, number one on the list that you put here, which I appreciate, zero lead generalization strategy. So
generalization, it should be generalization. Sorry, I misspelled that.
We should not be allowed to list subjects that neither you nor I can pronounce.
Yes. What do I mean by this? I want to see if you think you agree with this. I think, obviously, there's a group of agents where a certain level of income is all they're looking for. There's another group of agents that can start getting a certain level of traction through their network of relatives, friends, people in the community that they know, and they can start to get the ball rolling as a real estate agent through those connections, and that's fine. And it's similar to other forms of commission-only selling. It's great and dandy, but there's a certain point where those connections can be exhausted, that you've used up all the initial lead-generative possibilities, and there's nothing to move the game on to the next level. You're not doing anything that will move the game forward. Is that making sense, Rob?
It is, and it does, and it's true. So zero lead generalization strategy. Okay, so that means that you don't have a lead strategy outside of sphere of influence. Is that what you were putting down here?
Yes.
Okay.
And no strategy. There are strategies out there, as you know, that are about building out that one-to-one sphere. But I'm talking about people that haven't even got a strategy to widen the one-to-one sphere.
Got you. Okay. So that makes a lot of sense. So basically, nobody is taking the time. So the way that I perceive this, there is one of the great joys of my career is I've taught thousands of people how to sell. You start pretty small, usually in my world, because I came from call centers. So with what you're starting with is how to read a script. You're just like, that's the basic, right? But then you get into, objections, rebuttals, then attitude, mindset. And eventually, a few years later, you've got a professional salesperson that you've trained from the ground up. But you start with a script, a single microcosm of all the other things that come from selling something. Well, and then if you're really, really lucky, eventually you get to a point where you don't need scripts anymore. So, but the first step is to, I agree with you 100%, is to say, hey, you need some kind of strategy. And I would say, in my opinion, is understand that you can love houses. You can knock on the doors of houses. You can own the house. But until you understand that sales is a huge part of real estate, you're a million miles behind the eight ball. Sales and marketing are part of a real estate career, which means that you're going to have to learn a lot about both in order to be successful. And that's how I'm recognizing your comment here. A lot of agents don't have training, have never even picked up a book, never even read a sales book. And so I agree with number one here. And obviously, even the most successful of those agents, when you hit a down market, which we're in right now, we have had so many years of tailwind. And now I'm getting so many calls where people are just like, oh, wow, it's slow. And what do I do? And well, I hate to say it, but you know, when things are really good, smart marketers and salespeople set aside money, time, and energy to consider how they're going to keep things going when things slow down. Number two, John, number one mistake, leading career-killing mistakes real estate agents make. No video marketing strategy. Why is that so important?
Well, we've gone on the last 2 to probably more than 2 years, periodically, we've hammered away. I don't think, you know, I was talking to Danny last week, and he hasn't really got any kind of digital marketing. He just calls particular people that have removed their property from the market, and that's who he targets, and he's very effective at it. But I think I honestly feel this, Robert, those that are going to be really successful in real estate are those that combine traditional marketing techniques of building personal networks in their community, that can also combine that with digital marketing. And I've noticed that there's not many real estate agents that can combine the one-to-one traditional sales, building personal network methodologies, and then combine them with digital marketing strategies. But I think in the coming years, the only ones that are going to be really successful are the ones that can combine both together. And one of the key elements of that digital marketing strategy has to be video.
Well, we've talked about this so much on the show, and you should, for those of you listening today, go ahead and look. I mean, we might as well, like, we've talked about it so much, we should change the name of the show from MailRight to the Real Estate Video Marketing Podcast. Like, we've talked about it that much. It's rare that it comes up on it doesn't come up on a podcast. But I'm gonna explain this another way, John. I'm gonna do a video series on my own channels, and I started to do the research because you could spend about, let's call it, 200 hours understanding video, 200 hours, which sounds like so much time. And honestly, 200 hours is 1 month of cold calling at 40 hours a week, or 3 months if you're going to do 10 hours a week or something like that, right? Sounds like so much time. But when you start to look at the rest of the efficiencies around video, you will end up saving 75% of the hours that you spent cold calling by producing video. 75%, that would be thousands of hours. There's just, in terms of efficiency, there isn't anything like doing video, like in putting it on YouTube and getting it promoted. There's just nothing like it. The reach that these tools give you, no matter what the investment of your time is so dramatic and so extensive. There's no way that a real estate agent, new or old, should not be leveraging that kind of marketing reach to propel their career, or at a minimum, propel their branding message. At a minimum. And by propelling your career, it's getting out there and positioning yourself as an expert in something, and then really capitalizing on the lead flow that comes through from doing that, and taking a lot of pride and understanding what it is that you're about, and making sure that other people know that what you're about. So video marketing strategy is a major career killing mistake right now, I think. I agree with that. Number three, relying on one type of lead generation funnel supply technique. The addition of funnel and supply is a little interesting in the subject, but let's just say relying on one type of lead generation technique, right?
Yes.
Unless you specifically meant a funnel.
No, but I just see it that way. And I kind of touched it when we were talking about video. You see a lot of agents that have one power skill, one morphology in lead generation. That might be calling expires, cold calling on the phone, door knocking, Facebook adverts, Google local adverts, video. I don't really care what it is, but you get a lot of agents that have one core morphology that generates almost 90% of their leads. And I think it's dangerous. I think it's extremely understandable, but it's extremely dangerous relying on one morphology for generating almost 90% of your leads.
Most agents have, to be fair to most agents have two, but I would say 95% of agents have two streams. And here's what they are. Everybody, there you go. The two streams are your sphere of influence, which we've already talked about. And then all of you usually feel pretty good if you hire another or make it take a stab at another lead generation technique, or at least you think you are. Like a lot of agents buy a website and think, it's a lead generation tool because they're sold that, whatever. I've got videos up to just saying about the proliferation of misinformation, some of which unfortunately is actually put out there by the companies making these products. But it isn't so. Most likely, you're not going to have a very strong lead generation strategy unless you've really focused a lot on it, spent a lot of time with it. And by the time you've done that, that number two strategy, whether that's a website or buying leads from Zillow, because Sphere and Zillow are two separate lead sources, and everybody's like, oh my God, I have two separate lead sources. Except, obviously, Sphere is really only prevalent for people of like who are working their sphere like it's a career. And many of you are not. Just be honest. You're not calling up the 100 people that you know the best on a regular rotation, reminding everybody in the flow of conversation that you're a real estate agent. And even those people that are doing that, which are very rare, they are seeing a massive slowdown. And so usually you've got to have another lead source in place. Zillow would be good. But really, John, when you're looking at lead sources, it's like video is a channel for us. Our website's a channel for us. The podcast is a channel for us. And I feel, and local is a channel for us. And I feel pretty shitty about my lead generation. Email is a channel for us. So that's five. And I'm not feeling great about it because I think I should be focused on. So I'm doing a test on video marketing. You always, as a business, want more leads than you can handle. Do you agree or disagree, John?
Yes, that is the place you want to be. I'm nowhere near that, unfortunately. It's oscillating, but I hopefully I have some plans for 205 to help with that.
And ladies and gentlemen, if you're not there, you just want to keep aiming at it. You know, you'll know if you're ever there. Trust me, you'll know. And if you do get there, that's the time that the business itself requires you to expand. That's the whole idea of building businesses. Sometimes when you do something so well, the business itself kind of points at you and goes, you have to do something different because you can't handle what's happening right now. That's an interesting time when the business starts to dictate to you that you have to grow. So I agree with number three entirely. I think that I think that some business courses that I specced out. I've never finished college, but I've actually spoken at some colleges before about subjects of marketing and sales. And I believe that one of those courses used to say that you have to have like 5 to 7 ways of generating business for your business, like 5 to 7 different channels. So if everybody's wondering what you should be targeting, I'm going to say 3 to 7 or 3 to 5 ways of doing lead generation. Now, keep in mind that if you have an email campaign, that's way number one. A video strategy, that's way number two. There's a lot of ways to have a lot of different lines in the water. A really good website with deep content that, and to finally use John's language, funnels, a direction that you can send people down a rabbit hole that ends with call me. That's a funnel, kind of very bad one, but a funnel. All right. Number four.
Shall we go for our break first?
No. Yes. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Do you want quality leads from homeowners and buyers right in your own neighborhood? Then you need MailRite. It is a powerful but easy to use online marketing system that uses Facebook to generate real estate leads at a fraction of the cost you'd pay from our competition. We stand behind our work with a no question asked 30-day money back guarantee. So don't delay. Get started today. Go to mail-write.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Jonathan Denwood, master of the learning machine systems, WordPress, and now real estate CRM systems worlds. And I, Robert Newman, real estate SEO guy, guru, are bringing to you our take on leading career-killing mistakes that real estate agents make. For us, this is episode number 450. We would be pleased if you listened to one episode, but we've done 450. All right. So, John, we were just going to break. And when we did, I was about ready to say, not finding your niche. Why don't you jump out at that?
Yeah, I think of all the it's one of the most important points in this discussion, because in my own business, finding the right niche has made a big difference with my other business. I think with the MailRite system, it's a good platform, but I think I need to polish the language. We have made progress in 24, thank God, because it took a long while for me to really understand who my target audience in the real estate industry was, much longer than it should. But I didn't know, actually doing these podcasts and working with you on the podcast has helped with that. Obviously, if I had that knowledge beforehand, but I didn't. But my other business, the more I kind of aim it at a niche, that really understanding the clients, why they chose my other business, what they find attractive about it. And I think everything I've just said will apply to if you're a real estate agent. Obviously, if you're starting your career the first couple of years, you literally have to take whatever comes your way normally. But the sooner that you get to a level where you can work out what your niche is in the local market and really aim at that niche, you will find things come together much easier and much quicker. And we've discussed this like video quite a lot, haven't we, Robert?
Yeah, we have. So not finding somebody, like continuing to be a generalist. Like I got off the phone yesterday with a generalist of 20 years, a generalist. And I definitely agree with you. A leading career-killing mistake is, okay, John and I, really, so let's really get specific. Beggars cannot be choosers. If you're cold calling and door knocking and sitting in rooms and just praying for a single client, yeah, you don't want to specialize. You just want to be looking at all of your interactions with clients and looking for opportunities for things that you enjoy about the transaction, about the person, about the client type. Do you like working with divorced people? Do you like working with single people? Do you like working with, you know, probates? Was there something about the scenario? When I say like, was there just like, maybe you found yourself in an extraordinarily hard situation, but when you finally managed to solve some problems for the customer, you felt really good about that. It's not like you loved everything about probate or about somebody that came to you when their parents died and they needed to do something with the family property. Obviously, there are things about that that would be tough. However, what John and I have always said is, listen, be looking for that thing that you love more than another. John is an amazing example, and I'm not such a bad one either. I never wanted to specialize in real estate, ever. And I don't know what John's opinion was about it, but he targeted learning management systems, then he targeted real estate systems, and he learned as he went along. And now he's actually an expert that has paid the price and understands the niche, understands who he's talking to. And me too. I didn't get into this like 16 years ago going, oh my God, I want to serve real estate agents. As a matter of fact, the first 2 years I spent on the phone with real estate agents, I was like, why would I ever want to do this full time? And here I am 16 years later. I got good at it. I got really good at it. And I started to understand my audience. And with that came empathy. And with the empathy came the desire to serve them more. And so here we are. Real estate SEO and real estate agents is what I focused my last 16 years of my working career on. I've done a lot of other things. I've done e-commerce. I've done James Suckling's website. I've done 1,000 other things. But I focus a lot of my energy on real estate. And so does John. And we're saying that because in this, I love us as podcasters, John, because in this, you and I both walked our talk. We are leading by example, both of us. And I feel like we are very qualified to talk to everybody who's listening to the show about finding a niche. I really do. We both paid prices. We both sacrificed. And it has paid off for both of us to some degree. Number five, zero digital marketing or social media marketing strategy. I think that's fairly self-explanatory, but give us a couple examples about what you, like what is that? What's the strategy?
Well, it's kind of linked in your niche and it's linked to video and it's linked to supplying leads that go to your website. I think with social media, I think if you're publishing to various social media networks, I think that's fine. And at MailRite, we've got a part of the MailRite system allows you to do that. But there is only going to be one or two of those social media platforms that really gel with you, Andy. I can't tell you which one those are because certain platforms gel with certain types of people and other people they don't gel with. But one of the key things is people totally misunderstand the volume of posting that you're going to have to do to get a result. And I've been doing tons of work on YouTube, posting a lot of video. I've been doing a lot of work on LinkedIn. This is Revila Business. Been doing a ton of work on LinkedIn, doing a ton of work on YouTube. And I do a fair bit on Twitter. I'm okay in using Twitter. I don't use it a lot for conversation because part of me despises the platform because I think it encourages some of the worst aspects of social media. And my partner, Adam, he's really big into Instagram and Facebook. I do post a little bit on Facebook, but really that's kind of more personal stuff. But there, really my concentration at the present moment has been LinkedIn and YouTube. But I also post to the others, but most of the lead generation is coming through LinkedIn and through YouTube. But you do have to post a lot more than you think. Just posting once a day probably won't. And definitely if you're just posting once a week, that ain't, you're not going to get much from it.
Yeah, I agree. I'm doing some YouTube advertising and it bleeds onto my Facebook page, but I have old posts there and I doubt there's like, I really don't get any conversion off social. But then again, I don't really use social the way that other people are. Like I get all my conversion off Google, but I am a Google guy. And that of all that conversion, like my conversion breaks out to like 80% YouTube, 5 or 10% like local. I get a lot of calls off my local profile. Well, not a lot. I get some calls off my profile. And then a handful that never even see my, like 5% never even see my YouTube channel. They just go to my website, which is what happens. And then another 5% on email. And that's kind of like the way that our lead generation at Inbound REM breaks out. All right. So last up on our list, and I don't have much to say about that. I've said it so many times. It's like, yes, social can be important. It's a language that people speak. Understand if it's the language that you want to speak and choose your channels or choose. And I've chosen Google. All right. At least right now. Working with the wrong type of broker partner. That's an interesting one.
Yeah. I think there's too much emphasis on the split for understandable reasons. I think if you're a top producer with your own lead generation funnels that have been proven and you've done all the things that we've discussed in this episode, the split is going to be the really driving part. If you've not got any plans to become a broker yourself and you, for legal reasons, you need a broker, the split, and you know, we've talked about some of the virtual brokerages. Now, for the bulk of agents, the other 90%, I think obviously you're there to make money, but just the split, I think you're making a mistake there. I think the culture of the brokerage, the do you gel with the principal of the brokerage? Do you buy into her or his vision? Are they doing anything to help you in lead generation? Do you fit in to their marketing strategies? Are they marketing really well? These are the things that you should be thinking about. And a lot of agents, they just concentrate on the split.
And I agree with you. And I'm going to put this into language that I understand. 30 years in sales has taught me two important things. For a very long time, John, I worked for other people. And I used to resent myself for it because I am somewhat of an entrepreneur. But as I was working for other people, I realized something important. I was learning something in those environments. There was a lot that the people I chose to work with for any length of time had to teach me. The people that didn't have to teach me much, I never worked there for very long. Towards the end of my call center career, when I started to be the person telling Sprint and MCI how they should run their call centers and knowing more about the subject than they did, I was like, yeah, I think I'm at the top of my career, and I was actually a little bit bored. And so I got into digital marketing and had to learn all over again. I started at Age and Image. But here's the thing. When you hit the point that the environment or the people that you're working with have nothing left to teach you, it's either time to go out on your own if you want to keep your career progressing, or it's time to change the relationship with the businesses that you've been working with. Because they are no longer providing value to you. Okay? That's it. Businesses treat individuals like commodities, but like as an individual gets very, very skilled, they can turn around and treat the businesses like commodities too. If you are really good at something that you do, you actually oftentimes do command a certain kind of like market respect. Like if you can always go out and talk, like if you get put inside somebody's home and you walk out with a listing every time, even if that person is only vaguely interested in listing their home, obviously every broker in the city would want to do business with you. But if you're so good at doing that, why are you doing business with a broker at all? Just do it for yourself. Establish your own brand name, teach your own salespeople your tricks of the trade, build up a business on your own where you take the percentages and not brokers. So I agree with this 100%. However, the opposite is true, everybody. If you are new into a career and you don't know how to sell, you don't know how to prospect, you don't know how to do social, you don't know how to do anything in real estate, you just think that you have the gift of gab and you think you might be good at sales, and you chose real estate because you heard there was a lot of money, all right, you need a strong partner that teaches and trains you all the basics. How loyal you are to that partner once they've trained the basics to you is up to you. Like, that's a personal choice. Choosing that partner can be incredibly relevant. Some partners, like some of the EXPs and Reels out there, are attempting to do multi-level marketing kind of stuff. And if you do that, then you might want to pick a Ricky Caruth or Kyle Handy kind of people that get on the phone with you and actually train you person to person or through webinars or through digital methods, and they really hold your hand. And if you find somebody that you feel is really comfortable as a like a digital mentor to you, then perhaps one of those scenarios would work. But perhaps you're more of an in-person person, and that's fine, because Keller Williams and other people like that have massive written in-person training and showrooms, and you can go sit at a desk and you've got the discipline of walking out the door. You don't have to work from home. I couldn't agree with this more. Working with the wrong type of broker partner, I think, is probably, in my opinion, John, I think of everything on this list, it's one of the number one ways that you're going to kill your career. I do. Because if you pick somebody who, like, let's just say you work better on your own, like I do, but you are forced to go into the office, you're forced to work with people, you're forced to follow that broker's methodologies, and it doesn't work with you at all as a person, are you ever really going to get your career off the ground? No, probably not. And the second that you do, you're probably going to bail on your broker partner.
Can I say something?
Of course.
I agree with most of what you say. The only point I slightly disagree with you is that there are a group of agents that are very good at what they do, but they don't want to become a brokerage, because being a principal of brokerage is a lot of hard work. You know, when you're managing groups of people, some of them might be direct employees or they're subcontractors. These people's problems become your problems.
Sure.
And a lot of people can be very effective, but they just don't want the baggage that comes with running a brokerage, because they see the toll it is upon those that run brokerages, because a lot of people, you know, I was going to say some other stuff, but I think that's the point, real point I want to make.
I think that all the, like, one of those things about everything on this list that we didn't, that there is no mention of, I think that's important to have that conversation. You need to understand how much and how hard you want to work on your primary career. I made a decision a long time ago, because I've spent too many 100-hour weeks working for other people, that I wasn't going to do that with Inbound REM. And I don't. Like, I work about 30 to 35 hours a week, and that's about what I want to work. And that includes sales calls. And you know what? I, like, some of the time I waste that extra time, and some of that time I do really incredible things with it. Help other alcoholics, travel the world. The list goes on. And so, but I opened the door to those experiences for myself like, and I think that's part of that conversation around number six and what you just said. If you're going to progress or you want to hit a different goal than me, retire, let's say, early, cut your ties with real estate, sell your business. I can go on and on. Every single one of those decisions require that you keep moving up the escalator, that you keep growing your business until you can get off the escalator at a point that satisfies your needs as a human being. And that's part of whether you're going to do the broker thing or not. I just said, listen, I think that there's just, business is not illogical. It's logical. It's just, you can take it to a certain place or you cannot. And everything that you don't have is just a set of skills that you haven't acquired yet. The first thing you need is just the mindset that you can do anything you want. I love that about you, John, because you just, you know, you set your mind, you target something, and you just go do it. Because you know, I think that getting lost in the debate about what you should and shouldn't do is a waste of time. Just go do it. Make the mistakes, do it. And then you'll learn it, and then you'll know. Do you agree or disagree?
Yeah, you know, I'm a bit of a slow learner, but I'm a plodder. I used to bother me, but it doesn't now. I just plod along. As long as you can keep your costs, control your costs, so you got the time to learn, to adjust, that's fine. The only thing, because of my age, I'm now 61. But I, you know, it's in God's hands. I can't retire. But on the other hand, even if I could, I would be bored out of my skin. So as long as I can work the hours I want and then do the things that I want to do, I'm a pretty happy bunch. I'm not an unhappy person, and I'm not that unhappy where I've had a couple of really good years. Financially, and everything's fine. You know, it's moving in the right direction. As long as you have your health and you're not losing your marbles, everything's fine.
Yeah. I love that for you. And honestly, I love that for me too. And that's your attitude about it is roughly the same as mine. It's not so much. Somebody said something that I was watching, and it really hit me the right way, which is I've oftentimes said, I don't live to work. I work to live. But you know what? These little pithy sayings that we say really don't encompass something. You need a purpose. You need to get up and you need to do something. The question is how much time do you spend doing it? Guys like Elon Musk, they are all about what they're doing, the mission. Okay. That's great.
I think, just to finish off, the mission. I think I have seen people in Silicon Valley, and I have some people, they're not close friends, but there are people that are very, very wealthy that I've got their personal mobile numbers, and when I call them, they normally take the call, right? Mm-hmm. But they're not close friends. I'm not going to kid you or the listeners. But then I think they would say I'm a friend, not a close friend, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're fine, but they've introduced me to people. I think making money, the good thing, at a certain level, it gives you a degree of freedom, right? But past that certain threshold, I think it becomes an addiction. I think it can become an addiction. Like gambling, drink, drugs, whatever the addiction is, the need to generate money becomes a need to fill the void.
I don't disagree. And I think that it is, in some ways, it's an epidemic. And for those of you listening to the show, it's more of an epidemic in real estate than most other industries. Real estate is one of those interesting careers where if you wanted to, if you even add just a couple listings, you could spend all of your time working. You could be over at your listing's house. You could manicure the lawn for them. You could wash their windows. There's no limit about how far you can go if you want to work. Okay. And that's, there's, but I don't know. Anyway, we'll leave it up to you to decide how strong your mission is, and not how strong John and I think your mission should be. I will just simply say that there's a, you know, the last thing on here, working with the wrong type of broker partner and all that, it's so important, especially if you're in the part-time bucket.
Like I couldn't work for a broker that I despised and that I didn't really fit into their culture, and I didn't think that they aligned with their marketing messages just because I was earning a 2 to 5% better split.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that. And I think that with AI and everything else that's happening right now, guys, training and being able to disseminate all the information on the internet into your inbox is getting easier and easier. You just have to learn it, watch it, review it, and then go do it. All right. We have given you 10 or 15 extra minutes of just complete and utter tangential nonsense. We hope you enjoyed it.
He's going to blame me for that. You do realize that.
That was mine. All right. John, if you would like people to learn more about you or talk to you about, like, have just a casual conversation about lead generation or anything else, maybe your journey, how would you like them to reach out to you?
Oh, just go to the mail-riot.com website, have a look at what we got to offer, and just book a call with me and we just have a chat. I'd love to tell you about Mail Riot, and then I'll leave it. There won't be any hard sell. It's very informal. And that would be great. Back over to you, Robert.
So, ladies and gentlemen, it's, you know, it's been a weird, tougher year in real estate, which means that it's been a weird and tougher year to be a real estate marketing company owner. And that plays out to your benefit. I am still taking calls personally, and I'm still doing so usually off the contact forms on my website, which is inboundrem.com. So if for some reason you wanted to talk to me about anything, that's another thing. When it was busy, I was already on the phone 8 to 10 hours a day, and I was turning away a lot of appointment requests. It is not so busy right now. So if somebody wanted to have a conversation with me about whatever, you could do so by either emailing me, robert@inboundrem.com, or going to inboundrem.com, looking at my services page and filling out the contact form. All right, that's it, everybody. Appreciate your time. Today's show has been recorded in October of 2024. I say that because if you watch this show in 2025, the industry will probably have changed, and I may not be, you can't get me on the phone anymore. All right. Everybody have a good one. John, thank you so much. This has been a lot of fun. Well, I'll catch you next time.